بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. So alhamdulillah, this is the second night that we're going through the blessed life of Hazrat Abu Sufyan ibn Harb radiyallahu. And the last narration I got to was with regards to the beloved daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam having a miscarriage, Zainab radiyallahu, and Abu Sufyan radiyallahu then telling the escort, do not take her open, because this is a shame upon us, because we have no problem at all with you taking the daughter of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in continuation, in time, Hazrat Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu had begun to realize in the core of his blessed heart that the message of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was true. But due to his position and authority amongst the Quraysh, he remained adamant in his unbelief for a long period of time. So just like many of the companions radiallahu anhu, a lot of them changed, they knew in their heart that it was true, but they were fighting it. So like Umar radiallahu anhu and other companions, Abu Sufyan was one of them radiallahu anhu. Nevertheless, during this period, one could see quite clearly that a gradual change was taking place in this blessed man's heart. In Ibn Hisham, in his Sira, Ibn Ishaq, Ibn Kathir's Tafsir, volume 6, page 26-7 of the English translation and others, Muhammad ibn Muslim ibn Shahab al-Zuhri rahmatullah alayhi had related, once Abu Sufyan ibn Harb radiallahu, Abu Jahl ibn Hisham, and Al-Akhnas ibn Shurayk ibn Amr ibn Wahab al-Thaqafi, the ally of Bani Zahra, went out one night to listen to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he was praying at night in his dwelling. So three of them, they were all chiefs, Abu Sufyan obviously radiallahu anhu, Abu Jahl the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Al-Akhnas. Each one of them took up a position for listening, and none of them knew that the others were also there. So it was like they thought we'll go outside until the arrival of dawn. So this is a strange thing, the kuffar listening to the Quran the whole night. When they left, they met up on the path, each of them then blaming the others, saying to one another, do not come back again, lest you give the wrong impression to others. So this is an amazing scenario, the enemy chiefs. Because look, if the people hear about this, they're gonna start talking, so don't do it again. Then they departed until the second night came. Each of them then returned to his place and spent the night listening again. When dawn came, they left. They met again on the path. Each of them blamed the others again. They goes, look, people will start speaking. Shame upon you. He goes, don't do this again. And this happened the third night as well. So for three whole nights, or a large portion of the night, they were listening to the Quran with the messengers of Allah reciting to the Allah. When they met up, they then said to another, let us not leave until we make a promise not to come back. Hence they made a promise to that effect and went their separate ways. In the morning, the third chief, Al-Akhnas ibn Shurayk, took his stick and went to the house of Abu Sufyan ibn Harb radiallahu anhu, where he said, tell me, O Abu Hamzah radiallahu anhu, what do you think to what you have heard from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, i.e. the previous three nights? So the third chief asked Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu, ye heard what we heard for the three nights, what's your opinion about what you've heard? Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu thereupon said, O Abu Ta'labah, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I have heard something I understood and I know what is meant by it. And similarly, I have heard things I don't understand and I do not know what is meant by it, i.e. the verses that needed elaboration upon. Al-Akhnas then said, me too, by the one to whom you swore. So what's the lessons from this? First of all, it shows the difference between the kuffar and those who were brought up in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That was their language. So obviously they didn't know tafsir, they didn't know the revelation, the background of the revelation, but they knew the language, and this had the magnetic effect upon them. That's why the scholars keep saying the great miracle of the Quran is the language, because it cannot be from a human being. So this is a clear proof. Three enemy chiefs spent the entire night, three nights, listening to the Quran. So they were enemies, and they kept telling each other, don't come back, people will start speaking. And also it has the magnetism and the effects that, of course, that we all treasure. Al-Akhnas, the one who went to Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu, then went to Abu Jahl, the accursed, to get his response. Look how he answered. Ibn Hisham, Ibn Sira, Ibn Ishaq, Ibn Kathir's Tafsir, volume 6, page 26-7 and others. So Abu Jahl said this. Now you're expecting to say, I don't believe in my nephew. But look at the words he used. We and Banu Ab Manaf have always competed for honor and position. They fed the people, we fed the people. They engaged in battle, we engaged in battle. They gave, we gave, until we were neck and neck like racehorses. However, now they have said, we have a prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, amongst us, who received revelation from the heavens. Hence, how could we compete with this? By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will never believe him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So look at the strange answer he gives. You could see from this speech of his, he knew he was true. But the only thing preventing him was tribal pride. He goes, my tribe would compete with his tribe, for want of better words, making it simple. And he goes, we would compete with them. And now they said, the Banu Hashim have said, we have got a prophet. He goes, we can't compete with it. And he goes, because of that, and that only, I'm never going to believe in it. Hence, it was sheer asabiyah, tribal loyalty, that was preventing the accursed from acknowledging the mission of his exalted nephew, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the verse. And the rough translation of the verse is, they do not deny you, they deny me. So they do not deny you, that's the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because they deny me, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's many fascinating hadiths about Abu Jahl. For instance, there's another report, I think this is in Ibn Hisham in his Sirah, or Ibn Ishaq. And what happened was, this man came to Makkah to do a business deal, and he concluded the deal with Abu Jahl. And Abu Jahl, obviously treacherous as always, he didn't give him the money. Or he bought the camels, and so either he didn't take the camels or didn't take the money. So this man was in Makkah, and he goes, who can I go to for justice? So the kuffar around the Kaaba, they goes, go to his nephew. They said, this is a joke. He goes, go to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He goes, he will sort out your problem. And they were laughing, nudging at, you know, when they were like elbowing and nudging each other, saying, look, we're going to have a good laugh now. So this man went to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he goes, this is the situation. So the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then took him to Abu Jahl's dwelling. And when he knocked on the door, he told Abu Jahl, give him his camels. And Abu Jahl says, I will give it to him. So when it came to a business transaction, of course, because I will give it. It was a message. He had a problem with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is asabiyah at its limit. And that's why the Prophet said, when Abu Jahl lay dead during the Battle of Badr, he goes, the Firaun of this ummah has died today. Because Firaun was the same. He knew that Musa was true. But because of his authority, he refused to accept it. In continuation, but having said that, you know, even though we don't start praising a kafir over another kafir, Firaun on his, when he was drowning, what did he say? He goes, now I believe. But when Abu Jahl was, you know, even to the bitter end, Abu Jahl said this. He was fatally wounded. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu went up to him, this is in Abu Dawud, and he goes, if only somebody else apart from a shepherd had killed me. So even at the moment of death, even Firaun was better than him. At least he said, now I believe. In continuation, the Umayyads were also competing with the Hashimites, and one would have expected Abu Sufyan ibn Harb radiallahu anhu to have made the same utterances as Abu Jahl, but he did not. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be well pleased with and continue to honor this noble soul. So he was exactly the same situation. Banu Umayyah and Banu Hashim, we know the history. The Khalifa changed hands, they were always at each other's throats. But Abu Sufyan ibn Harb did not say, well, I know he's true, but I am an Umayyad. He didn't say that. Because I know, I've heard what he said, some of it is, I understand, some I don't understand. Another interesting relation in this regard is as follows. This is in Abu Nu'aym Ibn Kathir, Sirah, Volume 1, page 225-7, states, this account is excellent, fully illuminated by the light of truth. So Ibn Kathir, rahmatullah alayh, with his immense knowledge of the hadith, he quotes the reference. But then he says that this is confirmed by various reports, it's most definitely authentic. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, he relates from his father Abbas, the uncle of the Prophet, who states, I once went off in a caravan to Yemen to trade. In that party was also Abu Sufyan ibn Harb radiyallahu, so the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Banu Hashim, and Abu Sufyan ibn Harb radiyallahu, Banu Umayyah, they were both together. When we were in Yemen, Abbas radiyallahu said, I used to prepare food one day and then go off with Abu Sufyan radiyallahu and others. Then the next day, Abu Sufyan radiyallahu would prepare the food and do the same as I had. So this shows their nobility. Even though they were chiefs, they were serving each other. Once when everyone had finished eating, they left, but he kept me there. That's Abu Sufyan. So people left and Abu Sufyan goes, wait, I want to chat with you. Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu asked, O Abu al-Fatr, O father of Fatr, i.e. Abbas radiallahu anhu, are you aware that your brother's son claims to be the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So Abbas replied tactfully, which one of my brother's sons? Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu then visibly irritated, he said, would you of all people try to trick me? Which of your brother's son would it be except that one? Nevertheless, which one do you mean? I asked. It is Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He replied with exasperation. So Abbas still claimed that, you know, that mashallah, that job that he was given by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Has he done that? He certainly has. Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu said. He then took out a letter to him from his son Hanzala ibn Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu, which said, this is to tell you that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood up in the open space and he told everyone, I am the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I summon you all to the Almighty and Glorious Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I then replied, so Abbas said radiallahu anhu, O Abu Hanzala, O Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu, between me and you, I think he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling the truth. Abu Sufyan answered radiallahu anhu, easy to say, O Abu Fadl radiallahu anhu, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I don't like him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that, yet I don't fear any harm from his saying that, O son of Abdul Muttalib. The news of this spread in all the assemblies of Yemen about the appearance of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu used to regularly attend one assembly in Yemen when he went there on trade, where a rabbi would talk, these rabbis all over the place, when a rabbi would talk, the Jews said to the tradesman, what's this news? I have heard that you have amongst you the uncle of the man who has been saying these things. Is it true? Because it is his uncle here. Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu thereupon, with a wry smile, he replied, yes, I'm his uncle. It's true. Because he wanted to know what the Jew knew about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Jew then asked him, are you his father's brother? In other words, I'm not talking about even in English they say, you know, he's my uncle. I don't mean just friendly terms, I mean, is he your real uncle? Abu Sufyan goes, yes. And he said this with tongue in cheek. So the Jew said, the rabbi, tell me about him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I answered, Abu Sufyan said, sorry, don't ask me. I am not at all pleased at him making that claim. And I don't want to find fault with him, though there are others better than him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in other words, he did a half shot, because somebody else could have been better. But he's making this claim. The Jew noticed that Abu Sufyan radiallahu did not want to diminish his support nor criticize him. He goes, how strange, because he's not really criticizing him and he's not supporting him. He has no ill will towards the Jews of the Torah, the rabbi commented. He goes, is that true? Has he got anything against the Jews? Al-Abbas radiallahu thereupon stated, having been invited by the rabbi, I went and sat in at one of their meetings the next day. So he must have got some wind of this meeting. He radiallahu anhu had been informed about what had occurred with Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu and the rabbi the day before. Lo and behold, Abu Sufyan ibn Harb radiallahu anhu was there along with the rabbi. So Abbas radiallahu anhu said to the rabbi, I've been told that you have made my cousin, sorry, you have asked my cousin about one of our men who claims to be the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that he told you that he is his uncle, but he is not his uncle, but he is his cousin. I'm his uncle, I'm his father's brother. So the Jew then looked angrily at Abu Sufyan radiyallahu anhu, and they said to Abbas, he goes, are you really his father's brother? I said, of course. He then approached Abu Sufyan and said, is he speaking the truth? Abu Sufyan, realizing the game was up, answered, yes, he's speaking the truth. Then Abbas said, ask me some questions, and if I lie, he will most definitely want my blood. Because I'm not going to lie, because he's waiting for me. So the Jew, the rabbi, came over to me and said, I ask you now, has your brother's son sexual desires or any immoral behavior? Certainly not, by the Lord of Abdul Muttalib, I replied, and he has never lied or cheated. Amongst the Quraysh, he is known as Al-Amin, the trustworthy. Does he write, the second question, does he write with his own hand? The rabbi asked. Abbas thereupon thought it would be better for him if he did write by his own hand, and he wanted to say that he did, but Abu Sufyan was looking at, you know, that funny smile that a person has, he goes, go on then, say it. But he remembered Abu Sufyan, and then Abbas quietly, he goes, I quietly said, no, he doesn't write, thinking this was a blemish. The rabbi then jumped up in shock, and his loose robe fell down, and he exclaimed, the Jews are going to be slaughtered. The Jews are going to be slaughtered. Abbas radiallahu anhu continued. The Abu Sufyan and Abbas looking at each other thinking, what's this? What's wrong with this rabbi? Al Abbas continued, when we returned home, Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu said to me, O Abu Fadl radiallahu anhu, even the Jews are terrified of your nephew. I thereupon asked him, O Abu Sufyan, having seen what you've seen, do you now believe in him? For if it is true, you could be there early with him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But if it's not, i.e. you delay, you'll only be amongst others like you who embrace Islam late. Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu replied, I'll not believe in him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, till I see horses high up on Mount Qadha. He goes, only then I will believe in him. So Abbas radiallahu anhu looked at Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu and goes, what do you mean by that? What sort of a statement is this? So Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu said, oh, this is just a phrase that came to my mind. Abbas radiallahu anhu continued, when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam conquered Makkah many years later, and we, Abu Sufyan and myself, looked up at the horsemen high on Mount Qadha, I thereupon said, well, Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu, remember what you said all those years ago? Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu said, yes, I certainly do, and all thanks and praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guiding me to Islam. So this is a long report, and it shows the intimacy between these two noble souls. But at the same time, Abbas was playing this secret agent role, for want of a better word. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a hadith in Ibn Sa'ad's Tabaqat, Abbas had said his servant radiallahu anhu had said that Abbas had embraced Islam early. When he embraced Islam early, he was hiding his iman so he could benefit the Muslims by hiding his iman. So he was doing it here. He was giving the impression to Abu Sufyan, I don't know, which nephew are you talking about? But some scholars had said that he hadn't embraced Islam, so we respect the difference of opinion. One can see from the above blessed narration and others that Hazrat Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu was gradually being convinced of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's prophethood, but as is well known, he delayed in its acceptance, which will be discussed in the relevant place. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will. So is there any questions on that? So all we discussed there was a few going chronologically in his blessed life, that he was fighting his iman, but eventually he did embrace Islam. Any questions you'd like to ask? Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, subhanarabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun alal mursalin, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, wal asr innal insana lafi khusr, innal ladhina amanu wa amilus salihat, wa tawasaw bil haqq, wa tawasaw bis sabr, tarakallahu.